Thank you for joining me again for another episode of Swimming Stories. I'm your host, Claire Oldham West. Can you imagine having two big holidays so close together? In the UK, we don't do Thanksgiving, but for Joanna, living in Florida, this is what she prepares for. So she has Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Brought up in New York and now living in Florida with a family from the Dominican Republic, her food has been focused around carbs and plentiful eating, getting the family together, lots of business. And Joanna's now discovered keto. So this is a bit different this week. I follow the Slimming World plan, and keto is just another plan just to think about and just to ask yourself, is this the plan for me? So I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts, but what I will say is I'm so thankful for all the downloads I've received and the positive feedback. We're coming close to Christmas, and it would mean the world to me if you're able to go over to iTunes and write and leave a review. iTunes is kind of like the godfather in the podcasting world, and the more reviews are left, the more visibility I will receive within the podcasting community, and that would be fantastic. So here is Joanna talking through a slimming story. What kind of food have you been enjoying then this holiday, this Thanksgiving?
So definitely not anything that keto approved. So I made the turkey, okay, which is good. That's good. Lasagna, we had rice, we had roast pork, we had macaroni and cheese.
Oh, lovely.
Potato salad, yeah, so.
That sounds amazing.
I took a little bit of everything just so that I wouldn't feel deprived. Yeah, but exactly. It was definitely good.
Yeah, lovely. And that's it, isn't it? I think it's, you know, holiday time can be really pressured to think, okay, I need to stay on plan, or I need to eat healthily. And in the UK, yeah, it's all around Christmas and the Christmas dinner, and then Boxing Day the day after. But with yourself, with Thanksgiving, it's like you've got the double trouble, haven't you, really? Two big holidays, yeah, so close together, and trying to, yeah, stick to eating healthy. But it's such a lovely time as well, just to get together with your family and have those celebrations and that coming together. And that is a thing that I've always enjoyed with food. Is my mum is from we've got quite a big family, lots of aunties and cousins. And in fact, this weekend, that's what we did. We got together and we had a bit of a celebration. We had to book a table that was like kind of like three tables long, just to get everybody around it. And you know, you've got to add those moments, haven't you, where you enjoy that time and you're coming together, not to focus it on, right, okay, I need to be super healthy. Yeah. So how do you manage that?
Well, I mean, that's it's the same thing for us. Like, food is so important in our culture, mm-hmm, that especially like on holidays and just anything, you know, like, it's so important. So for me, it's more like it's a lifestyle. So you have to give yourself breaks. Mm-hmm. You can't always expect to be 100%. For me, that works because I know that I don't ever really go off plan that often. So when I do, it's just for moments like this, like Thanksgiving, like I'm not going to think too much about it. I'm just going to, if I want to eat a little bit of potatoes, I'll eat a little bit of potatoes. If I want some mac and cheese, I'll have a little bit, you know, but for me, it's more like it's a lifestyle. So I don't really worry myself so much anymore. Before, it was completely different. I don't worry so much about the food choices because I know the next day I'll feel a little bit off, but I'll get right back on.
Fantastic. And you mentioned for you, it's really important in your culture. And I understand that you're from Dominican Republic. That's where your family are from. Yeah. Originally, so how was family life like when you was growing up and around all those lovely foods? What was it like for you?
It was definitely, you know, especially like with keto, it's hard to do, like being Hispanic and trying to do a low carb diet.
Right,
it's really hard because all we eat is carbs.
Right,
like we're always eating rice, we're always eating spaghetti, pasta. You know, like, everything has like a lot of plantains, you know, and plantains have a lot of carbs in them too. So it's like potatoes, like, you know, you grow up eating a lot of carby foods. So you don't really know that what you're eating isn't super, super healthy, but you're eating it anyway, because that's what we know. That's what you grew up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just want to feed you everywhere you go. They want to feed you because that's how they show that, you know, their appreciation for you,
yeah,
and that they care. And like, if you say no to people, sometimes they get mad or they get offended.
Oh gosh, I know that feeling. If my mum's made a cake and she invites us around, and then I would never refuse cake. That's just like, yeah, kind of like, you just would never refuse cake if my mum's gone to the trouble. So you've had the same thing in your family.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I went up to visit one of my aunts a couple of weeks ago, and she lives here. I live in Florida now, and she lives in Orlando. And she made rice for me, and she cooked, and she was so excited. And I'm not gonna say no to her just because of, you know, how I feel. Like, I know that I'll eat a little bit, and then the next day I'll just get right back on, because I don't want to make her feel bad after she went through all this trouble to like cook a meal for us, you know?
That's it. You've got to consider people's feelings. But at the same time, mm-hmm, if you're like me, I've got a big family. There's so many of those times you're having to consider everybody, and there has to come a point, I think, where you have to be a little bit selfish and kind of put those boundaries down. So my mum will know that if I go round for a Sunday dinner, that for me personally, I don't have a lot of potatoes on my Sunday dinner. Because, so when I say Sunday dinner, it's like a roast potatoes and things that I have in the UK. So for me, if I have lots of potatoes, I'll not eat the vegetables, so I'd rather eat more veg. So there are little changes. So when you was growing up, what was a typical dinner that your parents would feed you?
Rice, beans, and some sort of meat.
Right.
Maybe like some fried plantains, like mashed plantains, fried. So that was our typical meal. Was always that it was rice and beans and a side of some sort of protein. So that was always what we ate. So we knew that was like the consistent. And that's just like a traditional plate too for Hispanic people. You know, like we eat a lot of rice and beans.
It sounds lovely.
So, it's really good.
So at what point did you feel that you needed to do something with your weight? Did you feel, did there come a point where you felt a little bit out of control, or did you have your weight gain and then wonder where it had come from? If you just want to talk us through a little bit about
that. So growing up, I always felt like, you know, in my teenage years, like you feel a lot of pressure to look a certain way, to fit into a certain role. Especially like, I don't know how it is in the UK, but I'm sure it's pretty similar to like being in New York, like a big city where you're constantly like being thrown like images of how you're supposed to look, how you should be, you know, like if you can't fit into a size one, then something's wrong with you, you know? So for me, I never really fit the mold of what was the typical, you know, what you were supposed to be. And I'm going to talk about from when like I was in high school, it's like the Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, like that era. So it's like, I never really fit into that.
No.
So you start noticing it a little bit. And, you know, families can be very critical. So sometimes, you know, like families be like, oh, yeah, you know, you're getting a little, you know, thick. You know, like you're trying to be cute, but saying it in a way where you're like, yeah, I know. But I never really struggled so much with the concern of my weight until I had my first son, and I was able to kind of lose the weight pretty quickly. But towards the years, you know, like, I guess I just didn't realize how much weight I had gained, you know, because I wasn't really focusing on that. I was more focused on, like, you know, working and, you know, finishing up school and, you know, making sure my
important things, which is right.
Yeah, like my family, So sometimes you don't think about it and you just go with whatever's happening.
Yeah.
And I lived in New York too, so, and I lived in the city, so I did a lot of walking and I never really went over a certain weight. So it was always kind of like, okay, yeah, I should lose some weight, but I'm not too overweight. You know, like it was like, you know, I would justify it. Like, okay, it's not too bad. But it was because I was always walking everywhere and I had to take the bus and the train. And, you know, we had to move a lot. But when I moved to Florida, it was completely different. Everything is driving. Everything is drive-throughs. Everything, you know, it's like you hardly walk anywhere because there's, everything is so far that you have to drive. You know, so that shift of me not walking as much and not being able to just move around as much.
Yeah.
That's where I started noticing that my weight slowly started, that I started gaining more weight. And then I got pregnant and I went all the way, my highest weight when I got pregnant was 227.
Okay.
So when I had my last son, which was, he's 3 years old now, and it was so hard for me to lose the weight. I just couldn't. I just couldn't, like, no matter what I tried to do, like, I would get on diets and cut a little bit, but then I would stop and gain the weight back. You know, and I just couldn't find a balance to it. And that's pretty much what took me to that point where I was like, I got to figure something out because this just isn't, like, working anymore. Like, I had to do something because I just felt like it was so out of control.
Yeah.
Like, I was no longer in control of my weight. Like, everything, I felt like I even had, like, a little bit of, like, a food addiction. Because I would think about food. I would just, you know, whenever I was feeling a certain, like, sad or depressed or whatever, it's like, okay, well, let me just eat this. And then I would feel super guilty about it afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just, like, always trying to figure out what's the quick fix to this.
To get it off.
And there really isn't a quick fix.
No. So this was a point that you felt, right, okay, I'm out of control with my weight. I'm obsessing over it. I need to do something. And I understand that you follow the keto plan. So is this something that you really committed to? What made keto different, or what made you seek out keto? Did you know somebody following that plan, or do you just want to talk us through that part?
Yeah. So when I first heard about it, my neighbor was actually doing it. She was the one that told me about it. And she had lost like 100 pounds doing it. Okay. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And she started talking to me about it. And then, you know, like, I started doing my own research. But then when I started researching, I was like, oh no, this is too restrictive. I could never do this because the whole point of keto is to stay under, you have to stay under 20 grams of carbs a day.
Okay.
So sounds, you have hard to track. Yeah, exactly. And for someone like me that I'm like bread and rice and just like all the stuff that's like way more than 20 grams of carbs a day.
Yeah.
You know, like, I thought that it was impossible. And I was just like, oh no, this is really hard. So I tried it a little bit. And then I think it was just that my mind wasn't in it.
No.
So I tried it and it worked. But then I was just like, oh no, I didn't want to keep doing it. So I just stopped. And I lost, like, when I was doing it, I lost like about 5 or 6 pounds. And I only did it for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And then I stopped and went right back, but I didn't gain it all back.
No.
But then when this January, like around last year, around this time, that's when I was just like, I was already kind of like on the border of going to a higher pant size. You know, I was already a size 16 and my size 16 pants weren't fitting me.
Right.
So they were already fitting me tight. And, you know, I was always just so depressed about my weight. I couldn't do much. I was always tired and, you know, like, no motivation, just feeling really, really crappy. So at that point, I was just like, you know what, let me keep doing my own research. Let me do more research on keto and see how I can make it where I can do it for me.
Okay.
And not try to do it how maybe somebody else would do it. So I just did research. I watched videos. I read some books on it. But even before I started, I hadn't even started. And then come January 1st, I was like, okay, I'm going to commit myself to do it. And right. I did, slowly. But what I think was different when I did it this time was that I was doing it at my own pace. And I didn't feel like I was in a rush. I didn't want to compete with anybody. I didn't tell anybody that I was doing it. Because the minute I do tell people, I feel like you have more pressure because the people are like,
absolutely, oh, yeah.
That's not keto. What are you doing? What are you eating? Or they look at you, you know, and they put more pressure on you. So I didn't tell anybody what I was doing just here in my house. And I feel like I did it at my own pace. I figured out how it worked, how to do it. And I was able to make it to where it just became easy for me to adjust to it and make it like a part of every day.
So from a total novice like myself, I know very little about keto. I understand that you have to restrict the carbohydrate.
Yeah.
Do you just want to start by telling listeners who I think possibly will be listening to Slimmer's World and their plan, which is the plan that I follow, but just so that people can understand what a keto plan looks like, what fundamental changes did you have to make with your eating plan for the week?
Pretty much what keto is a low-carb, high-fat diet. So what that means is that you're breaking it down into 75% of your food are high-fat foods.
Right.
And then it's like 20% of it is protein, and then 5% is carbs. So what I did in order to fit that, because the way that it works is that you have to have the higher fat foods so that your body isn't hungry. So what happens is that once your body gets used to eating the higher fat, your body is no longer using like the carbs and the sugar for energy. It right. starts using the fat.
Okay.
So it starts burning the fat and using up the fat that you have. So that's why you have to increase your fat in order for it to start working. So it's not like a lot of people think like with Atkins and things like that, that it's pretty similar. But Atkins is more high protein than, you know, high fat. With keto, it's more of the moderate protein. So right. like an example for me would be in the morning, I would eat like a typical breakfast would be 2 eggs, 2 strips of bacon, and a slice of cheese. Okay. But that's like a typical breakfast. And the eggs already have carbs in them, so you are getting some carbs just from your food that you're right, already eating. Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that. Or for instead of eating chicken breast, then you switch over to the thighs because they're fattier. Okay. So you're always looking for like those fatter cuts of meat. You're using butter, you know, like to fry your eggs in.
Right, yeah.
You know, instead of just like a spray, like some people will use the spray so that it doesn't like add fat to it, but you want it to add the fat. You want the fat from the butter, you know, and you don't, and it's not just any fat, like you want the good fats, you know, so you don't want to just use any old fat. So that's another thing too, that like, you know, my cooking oils I changed. So like, I don't cook with vegetable oil because they're inflammatory. So they actually, you know, affect your body in a negative way. Okay. I use avocado oil, coconut oil, you know,
natural
those are good oils.
Right.
Exactly. Butter, things like that for cooking.
So
those were some of the changes that I made.
So for me, listening to that, it's kind of, well, you're going for the fattier meats. Why would you not go for the leaner meats? From what I understand, from what you're telling me, is that a leaner meat would have more protein, but you need a meat that has more fat. It's kind of saying, well, the sky's not blue, it's now purple. It's like totally total U-turn, isn't
and,
it?
And you know what? Like, that's the hardest part, I think, for starting keto or when you're starting to hear about it, that you're kind of like taught to always look at the leaner things, the low fat, the fat-free, the, you know, all those types of foods, the chicken breast because it's leaner, you know, like all those lean cut meats. And with keto, it's like, no, it's the total opposite of it. And you would think that just from like our conventional thinking, you would think that it doesn't work. Because it's like, I'm eating fat and I'm supposed to lose fat. How does that work? Like, this makes no sense. But it does work. You know, right. it really does.
So that's your breakfast. So would your lunch and your dinner meal, would that all be based around meats with fat?
Most of the time, yes. So it would be like some people, I'm not a big steak eater, but I'll do like the ground beef, you know, and it'll be like the higher fat ground beef or, you know, like turkey meat or things like that. Or, you know, like the chicken breast or the chicken thighs or ribs or, you know, like it depends on like each day is a little bit different. Sometimes I only eat like maybe 1 or 2 meals a day because you're not hungry. So I've gotten to the point where I just listen to what my body wants.
Okay.
And I go with that.
So and do you find that because you're able to eat a higher fat diet that your cravings are suppressed? So I understand that you can eat full fat cream. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything should be full fat because what happens is that when
that
you
amazing.
Start going into it really is. Yeah. What happens is that when you start getting into like the low fat, the when they start going into that, it's very processed, the food.
Mm.
So it's not in its natural state. So your
right.
body is actually getting a lot of chemicals in it.
Okay.
That don't allow you to kind of like, that don't allow our body to just function normally or break down the foods normally. So that's why I like what keto is more, you know, kind of like a whole foods approach. The least processed foods, the better. You don't want to have anything that's too processed. So like when something is full fat, that means that they haven't added anything to the food to take out the fat. So they haven't added chemicals or anything to process it.
So just to be clear, does that mean that if I did keto, I could just sit and eat cheesecake all day?
No.
Wait. No. That's not fair.
The
you're the solver then.
Actually, you know, I make a really good cheesecake too, a keto cheesecake, because you also have to be mindful of your sweeteners too, because the sugar also is like another thing. It's like you can't use like the regular sugar, like the white sugar, the brown sugar. You have to use like natural sweeteners, so like stevia and, you know, monk fruit sweeteners, things like that, because they're not going to impact your blood glucose level.
So can you eat unlimited fruit and vegetables, because obviously they're generally higher carbohydrates?
Yeah, it depends on the fruits and vegetables, because some of them are very high in sugar, and our body metabolizes the sugar into carbs. So, you know, like you can have berries. You just want to be mindful of how many you have a day, because berries are the lowest sugar fruits.
Right.
So like, but you can't have like a banana or like mangoes and pineapples, because they're so high in sugar. And with vegetables, it depends on the vegetable that you're eating, because some of them are very carby, but some of them are usually good.
Right.
So like zucchini and, you know, asparagus and salads, avocado is really good because it has the good fat. You know, so there's like a lot of veggies that you can eat. Cauliflower is like the go-to for every keto low-carb recipe.
Right.
It's like cauliflower is the main substitute for almost everything.
Right.
And, you know, so it's easy to find the substitutes once you get your body kind of used to it, because the first few weeks is hard to get adjusted to it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they say that it takes 21 days to make any change for you to get used to it. So.
And is this a food that you feed to the whole of the family? Is this something that you have to kind of moderate to yourself, or have you sold everybody within your family to eat this way?
Sometimes I just cook and they eat, you know. Right. So like, let's say that I'll just make, like, I learned how to make a keto lasagna.
Okay.
You know, just using like low carb flatbread. So like, I'll use that as the sheets, and they don't even know that it's not pasta. So they'll eat it thinking that it's normal lasagna, you know, because it doesn't taste any different. It depends on what it is. Sometimes, and especially like with the kids, like you don't really need to. My approach is that I don't want to restrict them so much. They're going to eat whatever they want when they're not in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I have teenagers, they're going to be in school. I can't restrict them, you know, like they're going to, they don't really need to be in like keto, like a state of ketosis.
No.
You know, because they're going to burn everything up naturally just because of just moving around and
absolutely
being kids. But I am mindful of like just giving them like more whole foods. I don't restrict them with the carbs. I don't restrict them with the sugar. Yeah, because I know that it's not good for them.
Mm.
And certain, you know, like, you know how they put like certain dyes in the foods, like in the juices, yes, and things like that. Like, you know, I try to be mindful of those things. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like limiting everything, I don't do it as much with them at all. Mm-mm.
So now that you found keto and you're really comfortable with this, what changes have you noticed with your body shape and with your weight? Have you lost a certain amount of weight to date?
Yeah, I've lost 58 pounds.
Wow.
So I don't know how much that's in kilo. So I don't know.
We was talking about this, wasn't we, about stones? Because she was like, what's a stone? What's a stone?
Yeah. I
was like, 14 pounds.
Yeah, so I've lost 58 pounds.
Okay.
Which, you know, I went down from 223 to 168 pounds.
Wow, that's really good.
Which is where I'm at. Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. And I've been able to maintain my weight there. And I actually been surprised with the weight loss. You know, I knew I would, at first I started doing it for the weight loss, but I just didn't think it was going to be so rapid and that I was going to be able to maintain it off, which is like, I think the hardest part, because you can lose the weight. But if you go off plan or you don't stick to it, then you'll gain it all right back. Another thing that I really surprised me was just my mood swings. Okay. I was very moody and depressive. You know, like I just, my moods were all over the place, and keto helped me stabilize my moods. So I feel like I'm more in control.
Okay.
You know, like I have more energy. In the beginning, you notice that right away, like the energy level, it goes up.
I
have more
that.
Energy.
Yeah, for the people I know that have followed keto, because there is the fact that if you have lots of carbohydrate, that you can kind of, it's a bit like a sleeping pill, isn't it? You just can feel a bit sluggish, a bit tired. And for those that I know that have been on keto, and I've listened to their stories, that is something that, that people do report back, that they don't feel sluggish and tired. And I think that's a, that is something that everybody wants more of, isn't it? Is their energy
level,
especially when they've got a family and they're working, just to to keep motivated by increased energy is just a, you know, it's godsend, isn't it?
Yeah, because that was like one of the main things that I noticed right away was that every afternoon I would kind of have like a crash.
Okay.
And I would feel so tired and I couldn't even like sometimes I would just want to take a nap.
Right, yeah.
And or I would need more coffee or I would need some sort of pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. Then once my body got into keto that I was used to it, like you feel that burst of energy and like I didn't need the coffee. I didn't feel sleepy after lunch. You know, so it's just so different from, you know, feeling so sluggish, not being able to kind of move, you know, because all you want to do is just stay in bed or, you know, in your seat and not move around.
Yeah.
And now I have all this energy where I eat the mental clarity, like I was more sharp, you know, I was able to do more stuff, you know, and that to me was just kind of like a one of the surprise things that I didn't really expect that from it.
No. I've recently interviewed a lady that I've not published a podcast yet, and she's lost 8 stone with Slimming World, and she's actually said that she's tried to not to choose the pastas simply because of the feeling tired with those food groups, and she's choosing more of the proteins, even though within Slimming World you don't have to totally restrict the carbs, you can eat the pasta, the rice and all those things. But I think there's definitely something, it's definitely something for me to look at, because feeling tired and with my day job, having to drive around, that's something that certainly I could learn from. So with all this energy that you've now got with your young family, do you work out? Do you run?
So I definitely have more energy just to keep up, especially with the little one.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to get better about the working out, but most of my weight loss has happened without me consistently working out. So, you know, like, not that I'm saying that it's not good to work out, because I think that if I would have been working out, I probably would have more weight loss.
Yeah.
But it's just so, for me, it's like, I always try to get into a workout routine.
Yeah.
And it's always just harder, just because if I don't do it, like, early in the morning, by the time that I get home with the kids and getting them ready for school, you know, it's kind of like my day's gone.
Absolutely. You know? So, totally relate to that.
So it's definitely hard to try to get into even 30 minutes, you know, like I tried and I'll be consistent, but that's where I have to work, being, you know, consistent with
consistent. And what about you, younger children? Do they do things with you? Are they, do they like being outdoors and keeping fit, or just go for walks and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Drag them around and
my teenagers are just in his room. He doesn't want, you know, they just want to do their own thing. They don't want to be bothered, you know. They just want to like watch TV, play their game. Yeah. So it's like, I can't even like drag them out. So I'm just like, okay, whatever. But the little one, he wants me to be running outside with him in the yard and playing with him, like riding his bike. Like he always wants to be doing stuff. So, you know, he keeps me going. He keeps me like doing things with him. So I'm glad that I have the energy.
So would you say that this has had a big impact with your body confidence? Just with shopping in general, how have you found that? Do you like shopping?
Oh, yeah, I do, of course.
In New York, surely you've got to.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? It's so funny because I didn't, like, realize how much weight and how quickly I had lost weight that it was a shock to me. So, like, I would see myself, and to me, I was still 220 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, so my pants went down from a size 16 to a size 8. You know, so for me, it was like, I couldn't, like, it took me a while to catch up to my weight loss.
Right.
You know, so, like, because I felt like, in my mind, I was still heavier.
Right, yeah.
You know, but then when I started, like, putting my clothes on and they would flip me big, I would still wear, like, my big clothes.
Okay.
Just because I was like, okay, no, they fit me, they're fine. You know, and then I'm like, oh, no, they don't. They're falling off. You know, so, you know, it was just kind of like a shock because it took me a while. Like I would look in the mirror and I wouldn't see the weight loss.
No, it's quite common, isn't it, that as well? A lot of people say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, I wouldn't say it's about body dysmorphia, but I think if every time you look in that reflection, if you see that bigger size looking back at you, just to adjust and make that connection, it must take time. It just takes time, doesn't it? So you went shopping, did you, and had lots of new clothes? Was that the plan?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, but you know, it was a little bit scary because I was like, "Am I really going to buy these smaller size? What if I gain?" Like, yeah. I kept thinking to myself, "What if I gain the weight back? What if I do this? What if I, you know, like?" But then you just have to let it go, like, you know. Absolutely. And it's hard because I'm still working on that, you know.
And do you ever have bad days or bad weeks where you think, "I just can't do this"? Because I do. I'm a yo-yo dieter, I confess. Mm-hmm. I am a yo-yo dieter, and sometimes I can have good weeks, I can have good months, I can have 6 months where I feel quite free almost around the food and I'm not obsessing around food, and then something will trigger me and then self-sabotage will set in. Do you ever find that you struggle with self-sabotage?
Pre-keto, yes. Like, I definitely, before keto, I was that same way. Like, if something went wrong, I'm like, oh, screw it. Everything's done. That's it. It's over. Why keep trying? But once I got into keto and I was able to figure out how to do it, like, I felt like I didn't really want to eat those other foods.
No.
It's weird. It's just like, because there's so many, like, keto-friendly options for, like, cakes and things like that that, you know, they're not good for you. But, like, you can definitely, you know, indulge in them and kind of binge on them if you're not careful. But, you know, like, I'll have, like, ice cream that's, like, keto-friendly and, you know, I'll do that instead of trying to go for the full, you know, version of the ice cream that I know is going to mess me up, because what happens is that the next day you feel it. You feel the effects of what you don't want to feel because you've been feeling so good all the way to this point. And then you have one thing that you do that just completely throws you off, and your body lets you know, like, nope, this is not what you want. And I definitely love how I feel, like, you know, without having all that sluggish feeling and all those just.
Absolutely.
Why would you? I can't. Yeah. So, I mean, and not that I'm perfect, because I've had off days, you know, I think we all do. And I think that it's just a part of life. It's just normal, like, you know, to not always want to be on a certain plan. But once you just get used to knowing what you can and can't eat, for me at least, it's just been just a normal, it's just my lifestyle now.
Your parents and your aunties and your uncles, are they are they on board with it? Do they feel that it's like an imposter into the family, into that way of that culture that you mentioned about greeting people with food? Do they feel it's a bit of a, like a stranger in the room? How have they taken it on board?
They're good, but I always tell them too. I'm like, I was just in Dominican Republic not that long ago, like a month ago, and I told my mom, because I went with my mom, and I told her, I was like, "Mommy, don't tell anybody that I'm like, on a special diet or that I eat a different way or whatever, because I can figure it out. Like, nobody needs to know, because I know what to eat, what not to eat. Like, I can just serve my own plate without making it obvious."
Okay.
You know, so she got it, and, you know, she was fine, but I didn't make a big deal about it. Like, I just ate whatever, you know, because I didn't want to make people feel, you know, the same thing, like, not making people feel bad. But when I'm home, like, with my parents and my mother-in-law, like, they all see how much weight I've lost.
Okay.
And now they're kind of like, okay, what are you doing? Like, we need to see how you're eating and what it is that you're doing. And a lot of the times they're shocked with what I'm eating, because they don't see that it's like, they don't feel like it's diety, or they don't feel like it's, like, it looks like good, tasty, regular food.
So have you managed to convert any of your family to follow keto?
My husband wants to do it.
Oh, does he? Right, okay. And does he have a large amount of weight to lose, or just?
Not really. He has probably like 20, 30 pounds.
Okay.
He'll lose that, like, in his sleep.
Yeah. The dude owns the men. What is it with men, honestly?
He'll do it for, like, a month, and he'll just lose all the weight.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I already know. Yeah.
I took my husband to my swimming world class before we got married. Just a bit of support, you know. And, he got all the awards before I did. It was like, you're supposed to be supporting me. You're the one that's going ahead with it.
Yeah.
Honestly. So I've seen some of your cheesecakes that you've made on your Instagram account.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Latina_living_keto. The reason I started that account was simply for accountability. Like when I first started it, I started because I wanted to just hook up with like-minded people that were doing it, you know, like, because you could feel like you're in a bubble, like you're doing it by yourself, like nobody understands what you're doing, nobody gets it, you know. So I just created it simply for that, just so that I can get like recipe ideas from other people that have been successful with it and just building that community. But it turned into something that I wasn't expecting. Like I actually have like a small following now, and you know, I'll go on and I post up a lot of the things that I eat, things that I cook, especially like desserts, because I know like desserts are like the big thing. That's like the biggest thing that we feel deprived with is like the desserts. Like, oh, I can't eat ice cream. I can't eat cake. I can't eat cheesecake. I can't eat donuts, you know? And it's like, you could, you just have to figure out how to make it in a keto friendly way.
Yeah.
Or any, and I think that it applies to any diet. Like you just have to figure out how can I turn that into something where it's not going to throw me off.
Exactly.
And still enjoy it, because you can still enjoy it too.
But it does, your food does look, because I follow you and your food does look beautiful. And those cheesecakes do look amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And when people try them, they don't feel that they're diety. Like
no.
The cupcakes and the cake, you know, like they don't, like, because I experiment, like I'll do like, here, this cupcake, you guys want to try? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God, this is so good. I'm like, yeah, it's actually low carb and sugar free. They're like, what? No way.
Shocked, yeah.
I can never tell.
Wow.
So, you know, I never say keto because people automatically think, oh, it's so fatty. But
yeah.
They're really not that fatty because I'm just, you know, like it's using the almond flour and using like sugar-free and, you know, butter and things like that, which is pretty much all the same ingredients from like a normal cake. You're just using almond flour.
So are you definitely sweet rather than savory? Because I've got a massive sweet tooth.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely with the sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned a course that you're looking at running just to help people understand about keto.
Yeah, so I've already started actually like with a few people doing one-on-one coaching for keto. So what I'm doing is, you know, like I'll work with them and start developing like meal plans with them, helping them stay on track for them. I'll go into, if it's local, because a lot of them are like local to me, I'll go shopping with them and show them like what you should be looking for in your nutritional labels. What are the things that you want to stay away from? What ingredients you want to stay away from? Because there's some ingredients that your body will react to it just the same as if you were eating sugar. But they'll say that it's sugar-free, but it really isn't.
Right, I understand.
So, you know, just walking them through that and, you know, teaching them how to, you know, make it sustainable for them. Everybody has a different lifestyle. So I think that everything has to be adjusted to your unique way.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? Yeah. What works for me isn't going to work for somebody else. Even if we're all doing keto, we have to adjust it to what works for me. Somebody might need lower fat. I have one person that has no gallbladder, so she can't really process fat.
Wow.
So we have to adjust it to where is lower fat. We have to make those adjustments depending on you and what's going to work for you and what's going to work for your life. So some people need quicker things to go than others because they're home. And they can just prep everything, but somebody else might need a meal prep plan and, you know, figure out like, okay, you can have these bars that are quick and good to take with you on the go.
Right. Okay. You know,
so it all depends on the person. And that's what I want. That's what I want to do is just help people figure out how is this going to be good for you.
Yeah, and it's like a handheld service. So if somebody listening is interested in this, how can they contact you?
You can definitely DM me on Instagram. And I also have my website, www.latinalivingketo.com. And my email through that is my first name, Joanna@latinalivingketo.com. So I could be reached out in those places. But those are the main ways that people could locate me. Instagram is the best way.
Yeah,
because I'm usually always on my Instagram. Like that's where I do a lot of my posting and I do a lot of talking to people and engagement and all that stuff.
Brilliant. And I think it's so lovely that you found something that truly works for you. It's almost like a second nature, and it's something that you're not tempted to self-sabotage or ruin this. And you found a few groups that you do enjoy, and you're helping to convert your family as well, which is really, really lovely. And I just want to, before you go, I just want to ask, what crazy diets have you done to date? Let's see if we can have a competition.
Crazy diets. Okay.
Have you tried the cabbage soup?
No, I haven't tried that one. Oh, it sounds bad. I did the tea, the tea diet. So this was so many years ago. All you could drink, all I could have to eat, all your meals had to be hot water, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup.
Is that what Beyonce does? Lemon? Is that right?
Yes.
It was my God.
Yes.
I was just thinking, I'm going to look like Beyonce.
It was horrible. That's all you could do for like 14 days. I don't think I made it 14 days.
Tea and pepper.
Tea, cayenne, it was hot water, cayenne pepper. What was the other thing? Lemon. I think it was lemon and maple syrup.
Was for 14 days.
You were supposed to do it for 14 days. I don't think I did it for 14 days. And that's all you can have. That was all your meals.
And did you go to work?
I'm sure I had lemon too. Yeah.
Did you go to work on that?
I took it with me. I took the jug with me to work and have the stuff with me to prepare it.
Oh, wow. Did you feel faint or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have you done like the milkshake ones where you shake for breakfast, like, shake for lunch?
Like the Slim Fast and things like that. Yeah, like the Slim Fast, but like I said, those things never really worked for me. Like they worked for a little bit, like you do a meal replacement and then what you were doing, like just eating the rest of the time, you know, just normal stuff. So like it never really worked. I did do some diet pills too at one point.
Oh, really?
And that, yeah, I got so jittery, and it was just because it has so much caffeine in it. You know, and what else? I mean, oh my God, I didn't think about it. Like, you just try so many things, you think they're going to work, and you come to realize that it's just changing the way that you eat, and just eating food is what helps you.
What advice would you give to somebody that may be listening to this, thinking that they're facing 2020, feeling so frustrated with the way that they eat, the way that they can't control what goes in their mouth? What piece of advice could you give to help them to see food how you now see food?
I would say just start with little baby changes, like little baby steps, you know, start with just one thing a day, like changing little small things. So if you know that you have a muffin in the morning for breakfast, maybe swap it out for a banana or a yogurt, you know, like making little changes like that. Don't try to do everything at once, because I feel like that's where we fail, when we try to do too much at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, like we gained this weight throughout so many years. You know, you didn't gain it overnight. So we can't expect to lose it overnight. So just having those, like a realistic view, I think that helps. Like, I'm not going to lose this right away. It's going to take time. And I think that for me, the mind change was that I wasn't in competition with anybody. This was for me. So it doesn't matter how long it takes me, because I'm doing it for me.
Absolutely.
You know, so if it takes me a whole year to lose 10 pounds, well, you know what? At least I lost 10 pounds, you know, and not always beat myself up. So I think that is just the way that we talk to ourselves. We can be very cruel to ourselves, you know, so just changing that and not being so hard on ourselves and not looking at it as a good choice or a bad choice. It's just a choice.
Absolutely.
You know,
so
if you choose to eat off plan, it's just a choice that you made. And you're in control of that. And I feel like for me, that helped me a lot, just to kind of like say, oh, I made the choice to eat this donut. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I made the choice to eat my salad. You know, to me, it's kind of like, it's just something I'm choosing to do. It's not defining me as a person.
That's exactly. And I think a lot with the internal dialogue that we tell ourselves, we kind of demonize everything to this is terrible. We're bad because we've done this, or we're bad because we've done that. When that is fantastic what you said. Just look at it as a choice, and it's a choice that you've made. Yeah. And I think as well about taking that kind of like responsibility for mm-hmm. it rather than getting into almost like a childlike mindset, aren't you, with I'm bad and I need to be punished. Yeah. Well, you don't, you know, like you say, it's a choice that you've made, and you can go on and make more choices yeah. that are going to help you in your journey. So exactly. I've loved our conversation today, Joanna. Thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to come in and talk about my journey with you.
A refreshingly honest account of a slimming journey. Joanna was very generous in the information that she gave. And are we truly going to be on plan 100% over the holiday season, over the Christmas time? I know that I won't be. I certainly can guarantee that I will not be on plan 100%. It's not going to happen. And just to be kind to yourself, really, and to accept that these things come just like a holiday, you're not going to be on plan 100%. For the majority of us, it's going to happen. The holiday season will come and it will go. So don't beat yourself up over those pounds that go on. Just get back on plan and recognise that the plan that you follow is a lifestyle choice. It's a change. And if you're on a really, really strict diet listening to this, maybe keto is something that you want to look at, or Slimming World, a plan that allows you to go off plan for a while you enjoy the holiday season, to get back on track. I really do hope you've enjoyed listening to today's podcast. And if Joanna has inspired you, then do check her out on Instagram. I can guarantee that you'll love her page. It's so inspiring. Those cheesecakes that she's made do look absolutely to die for. So until next time, thank you for downloading, and I'll speak soon.